Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk listeners, how are you guys tonight? This is Chocolate Lady, and I'm hoping you guys had a great week. I did. I kind of wanted to start it off a little bit with a little bit of Chaka Khan, and kind of intros into the subject we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to talk about HIV and you. As you know, August the 18th, I will be interviewing a young lady by the name of Dangerous Lee, and she wrote a book, and it's dealing on that type of subject. So that's the reason why I want to do the HIV and you. So right now, let's get into the show. First of all, I want to talk about something that happened. I was watching CNN. Excuse me, news, and I don't know if anybody else has heard about the Dr. Laura Schlesinger, I think that's her name, and the big conversation she had with the young lady who was calling in to get a comment or get an answer to the idea that she was being sort of kind of harassed by her husband's friends. She's black and he's white, and Dr. Schlesinger said used the N-word several times. Now, the only reason why I'm mentioning that because I want to say this. I guess I have a whole different aspect on the N-word than others. These people, and I'm saying these people, and let me say, the people who have already used this word several times. I had a conversation with a local radio show I called in on, and they were saying something about one of the councilmen in another district or something had said somebody asked him where he got his hat from, and he said, "I got my hat from a nigger." Well, when he said that, everybody's like, "Oh, he should lose his job and all that." And I'm sitting here, and I was sitting there, and I was like, "I gotta call in." So I called in, and I told him. I said, "Okay, again, what's the big deal?" I said, "These people have been here in Louisiana all their lives. The same people who's hollering they want his head is the same people who probably cleaned his house and worked with him and played with him when he was little. And know he used that word. That wasn't nothing new. You know, why should he lose his position because he's saying what's really on his mind? This is not something that everybody should be so shocked about. You know, these people always felt this way. Just now, because we do have an African-American president in office, it's easier to say it. And a lot of times, and it's not, and then the remark that some people are being hypersensitive, I got a problem with that. I don't think it's just that people are being hypersensitive. It's just the idea. I'm trying to figure out, what are they so shocked about? I mean, what are you so shocked about? Nothing to be shocked about. These people have felt this way all their life, especially when they've been born and raised in the South. That's just the way they use that word, like they say we use it. You know, it's like the other word for thief to them. So why should we be so shocked? Because he's supposed to act a certain way because he's in a position? No. I mean, that's how he felt all the time. It's just so hard for people to be real nowadays. Just be real. Yeah, there's a time and place for everything, but be real. If you don't do anything else, be real about who you are and how you feel about stuff. Everybody has an entitled to their own opinion about stuff. If that man felt to say that and that doctor had felt to say that, she was wrong in her whole way she went about it, but, I mean, she felt that way. I mean, it's just coming out more. And I've said that before. To me, it just comes out more. People are showing their real true colors. Okay? So let me get off that rant. But that's what I wanted to say because it just kind of still on my mind because I just got through watching it not even a good 5 or 10 minutes ago. So let's move on and let's talk about the HIV and African Americans. Okay. As of right now, no, let me say not as of right now. This is a 2007 report, and it's 2010, so this report is probably about 3 years old. And it says 51% of our blacks are HIV positive. Okay? We talk about what can prevent some of these things can happen. For some reason, we're at high risk for HIV. I mean, it's not that we're ignorant. And I'm not going to give that to anybody saying it. I think awareness has a lot to do with it. I think we need to pay more attention to what's going on around us and who we're with. We should not just jump in a bed with anybody, especially having unprotected sex with anybody. But it just seems like because they say poverty and no jobs and stuff, the best way we can get rid of our aggression or our way we feel is to have sex, whether it's protected or not protected. I don't believe in that. I just don't see that. I think a lot of it is just we're not thinking. We're just making decisions and not thinking. It says American Indians have 1%. Hispanics has 18%, and whites have the second largest, which is 29%. But, you know, that's scary that we have the highest. We need to know what the symptoms are. We need to know what the precautions we can take on it and what age group that it mainly hits most right now is the ages of 18 through 49. Okay? I'm sorry, not 18 through 49. I'm sorry. 18, I think, through 30, 31, 32, maybe about 35, okay? And African-American women are more prone to be HIV infected than the average man is. And why is that? Because we make decisions that are not healthy for ourselves. We need to know what we need to do to keep ourselves at least aware. And that's the hard part, is staying aware of what's going on with life when we have this epidemic, because I consider it an epidemic, because we're not doing anything about it too much. I mean, we're continually having sex, you know, without being protected. We're continually doing that. So we need to find a way to start taking care of ourselves more. Okay, let's see here. Let's talk about the basic information about HIV and AIDS. According to this website, let me see what this website is. Oh, Lord, I should feel stupid. CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Okay, according to this website, it says, one of the questions were, what are HIV and AIDS? While there have been a great stride in the prevention of HIV transmission and care of HIV infection and AIDS since AIDS was first recognized in 1981, many people still have questions about HIV and AIDS. The information below is designed to answer some of those questions. Okay, I didn't mean to read that. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm reading too much. Okay, it says HIV. What is it? HIV is considered a human immune deficiency virus. That's what HIV means. Now, what it is a virus that can lead to acquired immune deficiency syndrome, or AIDS. It's estimated about 56,000 people in the United States contracted HIV in 2006. Now, there are two types of HIV. There's HIV-1 and HIV-2. According to the United States, unless otherwise noted, the term HIV primarily refers to HIV-1. Now, both types of this HIV damages a person's body by destroying specific blood cells. The CD4 T cells, which are crucial to helping the body fight off diseases. Now, within a few weeks of being infected with HIV, some people develop a flu-like symptoms that last for a week or two, but others have no symptoms at all. Okay? People living with HIV may appear and feel healthy for several years. However, even if they feel healthy, HIV is still affecting their bodies. All people with HIV should be seen on a regular basis by a health care provider experienced with treating HIV infection. Now, many people with HIV, including those who feel healthy, can benefit greatly from current medications used to treat HIV infection. These medications can limit or slow down the destruction of the immune system, improve the health of people living with HIV, and may reduce their ability to transmit HIV. Untreated early HIV infection is also associated with many diseases, including cardiovascular diseases, kidney disease, liver disease, and cancer. Support services are also available to many people with HIV. These services can help people cope with their diagnosis, reduce risk behavior, and find needed services. Now, I know there is a very big need for clinics that deal directly with HIV. Working in a medical facility, I do know we had several HIV patients, and I knew they were on certain types of medicine. But to be educated and fully know how to handle HIV, I don't think the facility I was at really had that. I'm not for sure. I just remember seeing patients that had the AIDS virus. I'll put it to you like that. So I'm not for sure. I know that the medicines that they have to take are very expensive, and not everybody is able to get the medication. I know there's services, there's resources, and different nonprofits that are attempting to assist these patients, these people who have HIV and AIDS, but I don't think enough is being done. Okay? Now, AIDS is the late stage of HIV infection. When a person's immune system is severely damaged and has difficulty fighting diseases and certain cancers before the development of certain medications, people with HIV could progress to AIDS in just a few years. Currently, people can live much longer, even decades, with HIV before they develop AIDS. Now, this is because of a highly active combination of medications that were introduced in the mid-1990s. No one should become complacent about HIV and AIDS. While current medications could dramatically improve the health of people living with HIV and slow progression from HIV infection to AIDS, existing treatments need to be taken daily for the rest of the person's life, need to be carefully monitored, and come with cost and potential side effects. At this time, there is no cure for HIV, despite major advances in diagnosing and treating HIV infection. In 2007, 30,962 cases of AIDS were diagnosed, and 14,110 deaths among people living with HIV were reported in the United States. Now, let's talk about where it came from. Now, according to scientists, they said a type of chimpanzee in West Africa as a source of HIV infection in humans. They believe that the chimpanzee version of the immune deficiency virus called simian immune deficiency virus, or SIV, most likely was transmitted to humans and mutated into HIV when humans hunted these chimpanzees for meat and came into contact with their infected blood. Over decades, the virus slowly spread across Africa and later in other parts of the world. Now, as I read earlier, there's two types of HIV. There's HIV-1 and then HIV-2. Now, it says, in 1986, a second type of HIV called HIV-2 was isolated from AIDS patients in West Africa. HIV-2 has the same modes of transmission as HIV-1 and is associated with similar opportunistic infections and AIDS in persons infected with HIV-2. And those with HIV-2 are comparatively less infectious early in the course of the infection. As the disease advances, HIV-2 infectiousness seems to increase. However, compared to HIV-1, the direct duration of this increase infectious is shorter. Okay? So that's the difference between HIV-1 and HIV-2. I am so sorry. My dog just started barking out of nowhere. Just a second here. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. My Blog Talk listeners, I am so sorry. Anyway, as we were talking about HIV too, it's saying that it's predominantly found in Africa, West African nations with prevalence of HIV 2 or more than 1% of the general population are Cape Verde, and they name a whole bunch of different little areas, even into Nigeria, countries that are reported with the HIV 2. Okay? Let's talk about how is it spread. Okay, it says HIV is spread primarily by not using condoms when having sex with a person who has HIV. All unprotected sex with someone who has HIV contains some risk. However, unprotected anal sex is riskier than unprotected vaginal sex. Now, I don't know if that's geared towards some parts of society, but that's what it says. It says, among men who have sex with other men, unprotected receptive anal sex is riskier than unprotected insertive anal sex. Okay? Let me read that again. Among men who have sex with other men, unprotected receptive anal sex is riskier than unprotected insertive anal sex. Okay. All right. It says having multiple sex partners or the presence of other sexually transmitted disease can increase the risk of infection during sex. Unprotected oral sex can also be a risk for HIV transmission, but it is much lower risk than anal or vaginal sex. Sharing needles, syringes, rinse water, or other equipment used to prepare illicit drugs for injections. Being born to an infected mother, HIV can be passed from mother to child during pregnancy, birth, or breastfeeding. Now, less common modes of transmission include being stuck with an HIV-contaminated needle or sharp object. This risk pertains mainly to healthcare workers, okay? Receiving blood transfusions, blood products, or organ tissue transplants that are contaminated with HIV. The risk is extremely remote due to the rigorous testing of the U.S. blood supply and donated organ tissue. Now, I understand that now, but back in the day, we did have a lot of people. Matter of fact, Arthur Ashe was infected by AIDS through a blood transfusion. So that is, I mean, we have to look at the whole picture, that back then they weren't doing what they're doing now. Now they're making the safety precautions when they do the transfusions. They weren't doing that before, okay? It says HIV may also be transmitted through unsafe or unsanitary injections or other medical or dental practices. However, the risk is also remote with current safety standards in the U.S. Like I said, current safety standards, because when AIDS started back in the 80s, everybody was scrambling to find answers when they didn't know even where to start to scramble. So you have to take that in account with a lot of people who already had passed away from AIDS, not because of sexually transmitted, but because of the transfusions that they were getting while they were in the hospital. Okay, I don't want to talk about that one. Oh, this one right here says, being bitten by a person with HIV, each of the very small number of cases has included severe trauma with extensive tissue damage and the presence of blood. There is no risk of transmission if the skin is not broken. So if somebody bites you and you know that they're HIV, then the best thing for you to do is make sure you get the help that you need. Take all the proper precautions. I mean, there is an extremely remote chance of HIV could be transmitted during French or deep open mouth kissing with an HIV infected person if the HIV infected person's mouth or gums are bleeding. Okay. Ooh. What are you doing kissing somebody if their gums are bleeding? Oh my God. Tattooing or body piercing present a potential risk presents a potential risk of HIV transmission, but no case of HIV transmission from these activities have been documented. Only sterile equipment should be used for tattooing or body piercing anyway. Okay? So, there have been a few documented cases in Europe and North Africa where infants have been infected by unsafe injections and then transmitted the HIV to their mothers through breastfeeding. There have been no documented cases of this mode of transmission in the U.S. Okay? Now, it says HIV cannot reproduce outside the human body. It is not spread by air or water. Okay? Insects, including mosquitoes, studies conducted by CDC researchers and others have shown no evidence of HIV transmission through insects. Saliva, tears, or sweat, there is no documented cases of HIV being transmitted by spitting. Casual contact like shaking hands or sharing dishes, close mouth, or social kissing. So it's saying that's not true. You know, they say, ooh, you know, don't kiss, but that's what happens. I mean, they say you can't get it, but why put yourself out there to see if you can? This most, it says here, how do HIV tests work? The most common used HIV tests detect HIV antibodies, the substances the body creates in response to becoming infected with HIV. There are tests that look for HIV genetic material or proteins directly. These may also be used to find out if someone has been infected with HIV. Now, it can take some time for the immune system to produce enough antibodies for the antibody test to detect. And this window period between infection with HIV and the ability to detect it with antibody tests can vary from person to person. During this time, HIV viral load and the likelihood of transmitting the virus to sex or needle-sharing partners may be very high. Most people will develop detectable antibodies that can be detected by the most commonly used test in the United States within 2 to 8 weeks. The average is 25 days of the infection. Okay? Now, I lost two good friends to HIV. I lost a high school buddy, and then I lost a guy who was in the military with me. Very good friend, very sweet guy from HIV. So, is this important to me? Yes, it's very important. And did they take care of themselves? I don't know the whole story because at the time when my first friend passed away, I was in the military, so I didn't know what happened because he knew I would have been right there for him, but I didn't know. And we kind of lost contact. I found out when I finally came home that this took place. And then I accidentally found out about my other friend through someone, to show you how small a town or a state is, through one of my patients that I worked with, I mean, that was when I was working at this medical facility, one of my patients knew the mother of my friend. And that's how I found out that he passed away. So, you know, it's sad. And you wish you could have done more. You wish you could have been in their life more. But you can't hold that against yourself because you didn't know. You know, I did know that they both were gay, but I didn't know that it was to the extent where they, you know, that they would, you know, deal with death next. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of, you know, set me a little bit back a little bit, you know. So let's take a break, and I want to play some more music for you guys, okay? Just to kind of set the mood. A little bit.
Such a lovely baby, such a lovely baby. Oh, why you wanna put yourself out there like that girl?
Tell you something good, huh? Okay. Now, speaking on that, like I said, I lost two friends to HIV. We're going to talk more about when you find out you have HIV, what happens next. Okay. Now that you've learned that you have HIV, you may have had many different feelings. These might include shock, denial, depression, fear, shame, and anger. There may be others. You may also feel overwhelmed, unsure of what you should do next, and maybe even hopeless. You may be thinking, why me? What if someone finds out? Maybe, what if someone finds out? How could I let this happen to me? Testing positive is hard news to receive, but an HIV diagnosis does not have to mean that your life is over. Take your time learning as much as you can. Include the topics below. This is a good place to start now that you know you are HIV positive. My little fingers are so fast, I can barely keep up with what I'm doing. Okay. Okay. What you first need to do is learn the basics of HIV, find ways to cope with your diagnosis, work closely with your healthcare provider, starting your HIV treatment, and know the facts in your community. Okay, let's learn the basics of HIV. Now, we've already gone over the basics of HIV and what does it do to your body. It says HIV attacks the immune system, which is made up of cells that fight infection and disease. One, the most important of these cells that fights infection is called the CD4 cell. It's also known as the T helper cell or T cell. Once HIV is in the body, little hands. I'm sorry, you guys. My hands are moving faster than my mouth is. Okay. Once the HIV is in the body, it infects the CD4 or T cells and makes copies of itself in these cells. This makes new viruses. These new viruses are let out in the blood and they infect other CD cells. This process kills the CD cells or T cells and the T cell count goes down. Now, the T cells that are lost, called lost, the immune system becomes weak. This makes it harder for your body to fight certain conditions that do not affect most healthy people. This includes the opportunist infection, such as pneumonia, herpes, tuberculosis, and cancers, such as lymphoma and cervical cancer. Okay. Read everything in here. Okay. Then it goes on and talks about what is AIDS, which we discussed earlier. AIDS is the most severe stage of HIV. AIDS is diagnosed when your immune system is very weak. If you have HIV and your T cells count drops below 200 cells of blood, you have an opportunist infection. You are said to have AIDS. This OI are also called AIDS-defining illnesses. When they are present in someone with HIV, HIV has become AIDS. Now, excuse me, it says find ways to cope with your diagnosis. To find out that you are HIV positive can let loose a bunch of emotions. These can include shock, fear, guilt, shame, anger, and the list goes on. And yes, testing positive can certainly be devastating news. While there is no cure for HIV infection, there are many HIV treatment choices available today. HIV treatments are helping people with HIV to live longer. Just because you have HIV doesn't mean you have to give up on your dreams. Think about what matters most to you. Now, where do you begin? To begin to cope with your diagnosis, you may find it helpful to talk to someone else who has HIV, a support system. You can learn a lot from their experiences. These could include how they were able to cope with their HIV diagnosis or how they told others of their HIV status. You could ask how they found a doctor or HIV specialist and where they find the information and support. If you don't already know someone who has HIV, your local AIDS service organization, ASO, should help. They can put you in contact with someone who has HIV or with an HIV support group, like I said earlier. Now, revealing your status. When you first find out that you have AIDS or HIV, excuse me, you'll need to make the adjustments to this big change in your life. Know that you are not alone. Someone else living with HIV or family members and friends might be able to help you, or you can talk with an HIV counselor or a support group. It can be difficult to know who to tell that you are HIV positive. No matter how hard it seems, telling others about your HIV diagnosis can be good. Telling those you trust may help you feel that you do not need to hide from the world or live in shame. You may find that those you tell support you. Their support could help you cope with your diagnosis and encourage you to take good care of yourself. A key part of revealing your status once you find out you are HIV positive is to tell your sexual partners. If you are an injection drug user, you should also tell anyone with whom you have shared needles. They may have been exposed to the HIV virus and need to know so that they can be tested. Work with your healthcare provider to determine how to notify your partners. Anonymous notification system does exist. So you don't have to just come out and say that you were the one, but you can let them know that, you know, anonymously that they need to be tested. Now, these let your partners know they may have been exposed, but not by whom, okay? Take your time to decide who to tell about your status and how you will approach them. Okay, don't jump up and do it because you're just panicking and life is terrible and I want you to know how I feel about this. Be careful with it. You have to be very careful because you're talking about a whole nother life, not just only yours that's being changed, but that person you probably infected is being changed. So you have to be very careful. And I would get a support system first, and I would get with a specialist before I would even go to the point of sitting down, or even if you do sit down and tell them, have someone there with you, okay? Don't just do it on your own, because some people are not going to take lightly to that information. Okay. Mainly, what's really, really important is working closely with your healthcare provider. The bond you form with your healthcare provider is very, very important. The two of you will need to work closely together to make informed decisions about your treatment. So finding a healthcare provider you are comfortable with and can trust is key. First, it is important to find a healthcare provider who works with HIV and AIDS patients or is an HIV specialist. Once you have selected someone to manage your HIV care, you should then meet to make sure you feel comfortable communicating with them. You may also want to think about the questions below when selecting a healthcare provider. Now, I'm going to read off some of the questions, okay? Okay, should I find a healthcare provider with HIV experience? Yes. It's very important to find a healthcare provider who treats HIV and AIDS often. Research supports this. Healthcare providers who treated HIV and AIDS more often had patients with better outcomes. Keep in mind, you'll be dealing with HIV for a long term, so it's important for you to choose a healthcare provider you're confident in and who makes you feel comfortable. HIV treatments are helping people with HIV to live longer, okay? It is important that your healthcare provider can deal with all of your health issues, okay? Now, the questions that you need to ask your provider or the provider that you're looking for: how long have you been in practice? How many HIV patients do you know or you see now? And how do they stay up to date with the latest HIV treatment information? Okay, those are the questions you need to ask a doctor or a provider that you're looking for, okay? Now, how can I make the most out of my relationship with the healthcare provider? To make the most out of the relationship you have with your healthcare provider, think of it as a two-way partnership, okay? Now, when choosing a healthcare provider, make sure that they are willing to work with you and be part of this partnership. Also, it's important that you aren't afraid to ask questions, okay? These are some of the questions also that you can ask. What are some benefits and risks of HIV treatment? How may your lifestyle change because of HIV? What are some tips for a healthier lifestyle? And how can you lower the risk of transmitting HIV to other people? Now, remember this. It's important to talk to your healthcare provider. Let him or her know how you feel about taking HIV drugs. This will help him or her help you. What else should I think about when deciding if a particular healthcare provider is right for me? The best healthcare provider won't do you any good if you can't get in to see them. So, ask them for their receptionist, how long it usually takes to get an appointment. Find out how well they usually stay on schedule during the day. The type of insurance you have could limit your choice of healthcare providers. The healthcare provider may not be on the list for your health maintenance organization, or HMO, or other private insurance plans, Medicaid or Medicare. Be sure to find out how you will be able to pay for their services. Also, if you select a healthcare provider that you don't think meets your needs or who doesn't make you feel comfortable, look for someone else. Talk to others with HIV or contact your local, like I said, ASO, AIDS Service Organization, to get ideals for other healthcare providers. This website is very, very informative. I'm sorry if I keep reading this, because I think it's very good information. I don't want to just pull out stuff and talk about it. I think you guys would really, really love this information. I'm running out of time. I'm going to go over starting HIV treatment real quick here. Okay. Working closely with your doctor to create a plan to manage your HIV. This may include starting HIV meds. HIV meds can help lower your viral load, raise your T cell count, and give you a better chance to live longer with HIV. Also, when started early in the disease, HIV meds can slow down the HIV from advancing into AIDS. It is important to your long-term health that you don't wait until you are too sick or when your T cells count is too low. Remember, you may have HIV, but don't let HIV have you. Think about what's most important to you in your life. Maybe it's the chance to explore your passions or to try new things. Imagine what's possible. Now, be ready to start treatment. Let's see here. Okay, HIV meds can help those living with HIV live longer. But starting treatment is a big decision. In order to get the most benefit from your meds, it requires a commitment to take them every day. If you do not take your meds every day as prescribed, the HIV virus may multiply in your body and become resistant to your meds. You should also know that HIV drugs can cause side effects. You have to make sure you discuss the side effects with your doctor, okay? Now, talking to your doctor and getting the right information on HIV treatment can help take you from feeling hopeless to feeling hopeful, okay? Now, when to start HIV treatment guidelines. Your health care provider may use the guideline put out by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in advising you when to start treatment, okay? The DHHS makes recommendations on how to treat HIV based on advice from a group of HIV experts called the DHHS panel on ultraviral guidelines for adults and adolescents. This panel includes some people who treat HIV, members of HIV organizations, and public health experts. These guidelines change as more is learned about treatment of HIV and when new meds are available. It is used to be recommended that people start HIV treatment at a T-cell count of 350 cells. Times have changed. Now, it says a new update. On December 1st, 2009, the DHHS updated their guidelines for starting HIV medicines. The recommendations now include starting medicines at a T-cell count of 500 or less. Okay? The latest recommendation for HIV patients are when there is a history of HIV/AIDS-defining illness in women who are pregnant, in patients with kidney disease, and patients who are also being treated for hepatitis V virus infection. You and your doctor should review the CD4 count and viral load numbers. Then you can discuss all of the choices and issues related to starting treatment. If you decide with your health care provider to start HIV meds, they can help determine which treatment regimen is best for you. Now, it says, choosing a treatment regimen with your health care provider. You will need to work with your doctor to decide which HIV meds to use. Share how you feel about taking HIV meds. Some people prefer to take pills once a day with as few pills as possible. Some people have restrictions around the time of the day they can take their medications. Your health care provider should know about all the medicines you are taking, even the non-prescription ones. Important things for your health care provider to think about includes the number of pills, how often pills must be taken, if pills can be taken with or without food, how the meds interact with each other, other conditions or diseases you have, if you are pregnant, results of your drug-resistant tests. Take the time to learn about treatments and work with your doctor to decide which treatment plan will work best for you and your lifestyle. Now, I just went over HIV once you get it. First of all, we talked about what is HIV, how to treat HIV, and then I went to another website that broke it down. It's like a support system type website that kind of gets you comfortable with once you find out who do you talk to, how do you talk to them, how to find a provider. So all those things are very important to a HIV patient. I can't say that I know any HIV people other than my two friends that passed away. And one of my patients. But as far as knowing what they had to do and all interacting with him, I didn't I didn't know how to go about doing that, and it really wasn't my business, you know, to find that out. But I see now that it's very important for all of us to be knowledgeable, because we never know. We just don't know. I don't know who's got what anymore, because that's something you just don't outright talk about. But it's so important that we protect ourselves. Young girls, young ladies, because right now African-American women, we are so high up on the numbers when it comes to being infected with HIV, because we're not being careful. You know, being promiscuous does have its penalties and consequences. You necessarily don't even have to be promiscuous. It's who you choose to lay down with. And if you lay down with that person unprotected, that's the chance you're taking. Not only are you taking a chance with the HIV, you got to think about pregnancy. You got to think about any type of STD, because STDs have they have other things that they turn into. You have gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia. You have hepatitis. You have herpes. All of those can in turn turn into something else. So you have to be very careful, young ladies. You know, we allow our kids to watch these videos and how everything is sex, 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 sex. But nobody is promoting the protected sex or no sex. Most of the time, everything is, you know, if I see a boy I like, I'm going to get him. I'm going to have sex with him because that'll prove that I want to be with him. We got to be beyond all of that. You have to take care of yourself, young ladies. You have to. Take it from a woman. Take it from somebody who knows. Take care of your bodies, you guys, because it's all you got. You know, we are supposed to worship the temple because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. So we are supposed to take care of it better than we do. Young ladies, little girls, young ladies, older women, because we're not excluded out of the bunch for not taking care of ourselves and getting with men that we're not, you know, we're having all this unprotected sex with. We're just as guilty as the next. So I say to all of you guys out there, take care of your bodies. Take care of yourself. And, you know, if you have grandchildren, you want to see your grandchildren. If you have kids in general, you want to see your children grow up and grow old. And, you know, you want all those things. And to have your life cut short because of an irresponsibility that you caused, it's not worth it. Tonight, I'm sorry I didn't ask anybody to call in. I should have, but I didn't. I just jumped into my show like I always do because I forget to tell people to call in. I'm terrible with that, you guys. excuse me. Next time, you guys, please feel free to call in. 347-677-1749 is my number. 347-677-1749. Call in and let me know what's going on, you guys, if you're interested in more topics that I'm coming out with, what my upcoming situations that's going on, upcoming shows. Like I said, next week we have Dangerous Lee coming out. She wrote the book, Keep Your Skirts Down, Your Panties Up. Yeah, I think that's the name of it. So I'll be interviewing her next week. Trendyshop.com, which is my other website where I sell all kinds of stuff for plus-size women, because that's where plus-size is fun, okay? SamanthaPlace.net is also another website. It's my personal website. I try to update as much as possible. Also, the upcoming book I just finished called The Secret Journal, I got it back day for proofing to make sure everything is correct in it. Once I do that, then I'll send it back, and then you'll be able to hear more about it, be able to purchase a copy. Maybe one of you guys want to interview me about my book. So I try to stay busy as much as I can. If you really want to know what I look like, go on YouTube. The name of my YouTube channel is CMBS44. So you'll see the voice that goes with the face that goes with the voice. And then plus, I think I have a picture or two on here. I want you guys to have a nice night, be safe, and if you're having sex with someone, please be safe. Use a condom. That's not only a condom for the penis, that's a condom for the vagina. There's also a condom for the tongue, Ah, didn't know I knew that, huh? So I'm hoping you guys really, really be more precautious. That goes for men who sleep around on their wives, who are on the down low. Please be careful. We need our women, you know. We need women. I don't think it's fair for them to be infected because you guys are being stupid, okay? And that goes for women being stupid, too, because that's what we do a lot of times. So I hope the information that I semi-read to you and really helped you guys. I am going to sound off. This is Chocolate Lady 64, Blog Talk Radio. I will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.